It's the Apple Weekly Report for March 17th, 2007. I'm Ricky Spiro.
And I'm Jeff Gabbett. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit magobserver.com/roundup.
Hey, everybody. You may have wondered why that intro sounded a little bit different. It was on principle. I didn't want to lie to anybody. I didn't want to lie to you because it is not actually March 17th as we're recording this. That's the confession that I have to make.
I better go check my calendar right now.
We are recording this about a week before we're releasing it, around the time perhaps that you were downloading last week's show. So we're on vacation as you're listening to this, but we figured pre-recording this, we'd take a look at a really interesting story from the week before we began recording this. Stuff having to do with Windows Vista. Now, you may recall a little while ago, we talked about Windows Vista. We briefly mentioned that it was released, and we said, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to compare it to Leopard until Leopard is released. That would be the
Fair
next
enough.
Version of OS X. And we weren't going to compare it until we had something to compare it to. This is going to be a different sort of thing. We're going to do a little bit of comparison when the time comes. But for now, we figured we'd talk a little bit about the business of Windows and the business of Microsoft's operating system generally, the transition from XP to Vista and the impact it's having on the computer industry at large, just because it seems interesting, at least to me.
Okay, then I think I'll do a little bit of news to get started. Conventional wisdom is building on Wall Street and elsewhere that the release of Microsoft's Windows Vista operating system may be impacting Mac sales right now, but Apple should rebound and show an increase in growth over the next three quarters. And take as a bellwether the comments of Piper Jaffray analyst Gene Munster.
Based on a second round of checks with 50 retail stores, Mr. Munster wrote, we continue to expect Windows Vista will cause Mac market share to decline from 2.5% in December to 2.3% in March. On a year-over-year basis, though, we expect Apple will gain share up from 2.1% in March of 2006.
Now, meanwhile, it seems the sales of Windows Vista have fallen below expectations. Now, one of the reasons is because of low adoption, and the United States Department of Transportation announced that it would be placing a moratorium on the Vista upgrade. But that was just to ensure that their mission-critical applications were tested on Vista before it could be rolled out. Many organizations are in that same mode right now.
In some cases, though, there's a longer-term skepticism of Vista. The Federal Aviation Administration's CIO, Chief Information Officer David Bowen, is examining the possibility of replacing his agency's 45,000 Windows systems with Linux systems, a new browser, and Google's online business applications. Apparently, Mr. Bowen is in talks with Dell Computer to determine if it could deliver Linux-based computers capable of accessing Google apps through a non-Microsoft browser, once the FAA's XP-based computers pass their shelf life. He said, we have discussions going on with Dell. We're trying to figure out what our roadmap will be after we're no longer able to acquire Windows XP. But the most interesting news about Vista and computer sales actually has nothing to do with Microsoft. Intel faces a glut of CPUs and weak corporate demand for new computers. Intel CEO Paul Otellini told analysts that the company is working hard to remain profitable. In particular, he said there's clearly more capacity to build microprocessors than there is demand in 2007 and probably in 2008. He told all of this to financial analysts at the Morgan Stanley Technology Conference in San Francisco.
And Intel announced that they will be doing product refreshes every 2 years, upgrading their architecture in 1 year and then shrinking the transistor geometry in the other. Intel is currently working on reducing its 65-nanometer process to a 45-nanometer process, and the resulting chip, which is codenamed Penryn, should be available in 2007. And Penryn is expected to consume considerably less power than its predecessors. Now, the thing is, the glut of CPUs is forcing prices down, and Intel needs to convince buyers that it has a compelling new chip.
Paul Otellini also mentioned at that technology conference in San Francisco that Apple is charting the future of mobile computing devices with its iPhone. He said Unix, on which OS X is based, is a superior platform for mobile devices compared to Microsoft Windows. And he said the power performance footprint in terms of the kernel for Linux for Ultra Mobile is quite good as opposed to the footprint for Vista. You can get Windows CE in there, meaning a mobile device, but you sure can't get Windows Vista in there as a small kernel version. And with that comment ringing in the old ears, let's get into the context machine. All right, Jeff. Now, for everyone listening at home here, we're going to take kind of a laid-back approach to this discussion. We got plenty of time on this week's show. We've just got this one subject to talk about, Windows Vista. And so we're going to meander through this. It's an interesting thing, I think, for Apple watchers to watch what happens with Vista. It's not an operating system that most of us, or many of us, use day-to-day, although I know a lot of our readers do work cross-platform all the time. Let's begin with the subject of Vista adoption, generally speaking. I'm just curious, Jeff, among the people that you know that work with Windows, what have you heard about Vista adoption? What's your sense of what's going on with it?
Well, if you listen to what Microsoft is saying, it's a smashing success and everyone's adopting it. What I've really been seeing, though, is not that at all. From the surveys that the industry analysts have been conducting, as well as through my conversations with consultants and buyers, people are not going to Vista, especially in the business world. Everyone seems to be holding off. Now, there are a lot of people, of course, that are upgrading, which just stands to reason because of the sheer numbers of Windows users that already exist. And many of them have been holding off to make new computer purchases when Vista came out. That's happened. So now some of that's actually occurring, but not nearly in the numbers that Microsoft expected at all.
Yeah, I find similar things in the lab that I work in for most of my time during the day. We run a lot of software that we write ourselves that is all based on Windows XP, and there's no impetus to move, to switch over, because in the same way in that story we mentioned, worrying about mission-critical applications, the experiments we run, we need to know that certain software is going to work, and we just don't want to go through the effort right now. There's no reason to stop what we're doing and switch over. And that, to me, gets to a very central issue of Windows Vista. I've never felt like there are, I'm not aware of really compelling features that are causing people to say, I've got to get this operating system.
You know, the key word right there is compelling, and I totally have to agree with you on that. I have not seen any compelling reasons for people to upgrade to Vista. And there's actually been some studies done, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who did this, but there was some group that did a usability study and found that Windows Vista is actually like 15 or 20% less usable than Windows XP. So it's like a major step backwards in productivity for people.
Now, presumably,
to me,
that's
a compelling
dependent
reason not to.
Yeah, presumably, of course, that's dependent on the particular things that they chose to measure. And I know people who have chosen to use it personally, who've walked into the lab holding it on their laptops, and they're happy with it. They think it has the cool visual stuff, and it's supposed to be more stable, more secure, require less maintenance. And so I've seen people talk about it and they're happy with it, but there's not that sense of we really need to be running this operating system. And that is, people have got to make the decision to spend money on this stuff. On the other hand, you read some of the reviews of this operating system in the newspaper, and almost universally, reviewers have been saying, you know what, Vista's a great upgrade. It's way better than the thing that it replaces. They like the new visual features. They like the promise of better security. So generally, in the newspaper articles and around the web, the stuff I've read about Vista has been pretty positive.
You know, yeah, I'm seeing mixed responses to Vista. And that says a lot right there, because the responses are so mixed. And I think for some people, sure, it might be a nice upgrade. But from what I'm seeing, there's a lot of people that really aren't interested in the feature set that Vista is offering, especially when you take into account that it probably doesn't run on the hardware they currently have. And that's another big investment.
So probably a perfectly solid operating system, nothing compelling. So Microsoft Windows Vista, it doesn't suck.
As much.
Now, let's talk about some business here. Microsoft is still going to make money here, right?
Oh, of course. And I mean, they've locked in a money-making market for themselves. There's a lot of PC vendors out there that, through the contracts that they have with Microsoft, they are, in essence, compelled to put Vista on their new hardware. So that's a locked-in market right there, and that's a lot of people or companies that are paying licensing fees to Microsoft just for the privilege of putting the operating system on the computer, whether they want to or not.
All right. Now let's talk a little bit about Apple. How is Apple's position here? I mean, we hear every now and then people talking, Gene Munster talking about Apple losing market share because of the Vista release. We heard stuff last year about how Apple had this tremendous opportunity to take advantage of the Vista release and show how much better Leopard was than Vista and steal market share. What is the situation for Apple here? Do they have anything to gain or lose?
Yes, actually, yes to both. They're in a wonderful position to be able to capitalize on macOS 10.4, which is out right now, and then especially macOS 10.5, Leopard, when that comes out in a few weeks, few months, whenever that happens, is spring sometime. When people are in the position where they have to decide, do I buy a new computer because I want to get Windows XP? What do I get? Okay, now they can decide, do I want to get another Windows machine, or is it time to go and get a Macintosh instead, because I'm going to have to get new hardware and learn new things anyhow. Why not just go learn that instead? So that's something Apple is working on capitalizing on right now, and they're doing a lot to raise awareness for that.
What are some of those things? I know we've got those Get a Mac ads, the John Hodgman and what's his name? Help me out. Justin Long?
Yeah, Justin Long.
There we go. Doing those ads about Macs and PCs, and they've got a couple that are jabbing it at Windows Vista. What else is Apple doing to raise awareness about that choice that people have? You know, you could go out and buy a new machine with Vista, or you could get a Mac.
Well, you're seeing ads in print publications as well, which is nice, because that means that the ads are getting in front of people that wouldn't otherwise go looking for them. So that's always a big plus. Apple is running I wrote an article earlier this week that turned out to be amazingly popular about how Apple has a graphic on their start page for the online Apple store that talks about how if you want to make the ultimate PC upgrade, instead of getting Vista, just go ahead and buy a Mac. So they're putting aggressive little tidbits in front of people at the online store, and they're also doing awareness campaign things in their retail stores as well. And that's carrying over some, from what I understand, into the CompUSA stores that Apple has a presence in as well. So they're trying to hit this on all fronts.
It does, incidentally, and of course, when Jeff says earlier this week, he means, for all of you listening, 2 weeks ago.
Sorry.
But the other thing, another article that we ran earlier this week, meaning 2 weeks ago, for all of you out there, was an article about Apple's retail stores and specifically the extent to which they have succeeded and how it's surpassed all expectations. Not directly related to this particular conversation, but also very interesting. And you realize the fact that these stores are in malls downtown, you know, where people go shopping or go to movies day in, day out, as opposed to, you know, in the Walmart big box, you only go there for a special trip kind of locations. They've done a terrific job of making themselves visible generally. And my impression is, maybe it's just the particular TV shows that I've been watching, but my impression is that their TV advertising has boosted a lot as well.
I think it has, absolutely. And even though I'm seeing some negative reactions to some of the ads, by and large, everyone is very positive about Apple's advertising. And that's a big thing.
Yeah. Let's switch gears one more time. Let's talk a little bit about chips. We talked about a couple of stories related to Intel. Let's begin again with a question about Apple. What is there for Apple to gain or lose with respect to this story about CPUs, the fact that there is this glut of CPU supply?
Well, if Apple plays their cards right, and they tend to be very good at that right now, they can probably negotiate a better deal, at least for a little while, on their chip prices, which means that they can either ramp up production of the current computers they already have and get more out the door, or they could do some price reductions to account for lower chip prices. There's all different kinds of things that they can do to take advantage of lower chip prices.
Or, of course, they can just keep the difference and make more money.
Or they can keep the difference, sure.
And that does seem to be a standard Apple technique. I mean, you almost never see Apple provide a sale. And even when they do, it's stuff like the back-to-school stuff where they'll bundle an iPod with your Mac. It seems that Apple is very resistant to lowering prices on its products, as though that cheapens them.
Yes, and that's a mentality that Apple has. They don't want to cheapen their products. So it wouldn't surprise me, though, to see Apple work a deal where they can get a hold of more processors and then ramp up production and get more computers out the door.
Now, is this a different situation? I mean, is that going to be that's something that Apple can gain? But relative to other manufacturers like Dell or Gateway or HP or Lenovo, is there anything for Apple to gain relative to those manufacturers?
Well, I think it's a race to see who can get the best deal for chips right now. And whoever can do that will be the winner. And it might be Apple, it might be Dell, it might be someone else. So, yeah, so whoever can get the best deal, that's who's gaining out of this, and everyone else, in essence, will be the loser, even though I don't think there's really going to be big losers, at least for now, because of this. Although down the road, if Intel ends up with this massive glut of processors that they simply can't sell, then they're going to have to deal with the issue of, well, we have these massive stockpiles of chips that are now obsolete, and we have these brand new processors that we really want people to buy. What do we do? And in the end, most likely what would happen is Intel would eat the loss and just offload the chips or destroy them.
All right. Now I want to switch gears one more time. This is the question that occurred to me when I read that story about Intel and CPU production, and in many ways is the most interesting question of all to me, which is, if we're in a situation where there is a glut of CPUs, generally speaking, we'll talk in a second about what's causing it, but if there is a greater supply than there is demand for CPUs, one message that chip makers like Intel, AMD, Motorola could take from that is, IBM. One message that they could take from that is, you know what? chip development is not the biggest issue right now. We're going to step back from driving forward on CPU development and worry about other things, whatever those other things might be. Maybe it's integrating graphics and CPUs, which is something that AMD/ATI is currently doing and something that Intel has been working on as well. Is it possible that because of this CPU glut, overall drive forward in CPU innovation could suffer?
It could. I would think that would only be a temporary setback, not like we lose years worth of development out of this, maybe like months worth of development, because eventually the market will correct itself, either through through new demand for products or scaling back on current production so that it can match what the demand is. The market has a way of fixing itself when we let it actually do that. And I'm sure that's exactly what would happen here. So yeah, for a little while, it might be hard on some of the players in the game, but in the end, it'll balance back out. And as long as Intel, AMD, Apple, Dell, and everyone else that is in this whole little chip mix plays their cards right, it'll be okay. And everyone will walk away maybe a little bit leaner, but not with any big scars.
Is it safe to say that Windows Vista is in part responsible for this CPU glut? Is that a false connection? We kind of implied that in the articles that we wrote, and I would think that Mac users generally would like to think of it that way, but is that a reasonable connection to make? Vista is not a very strong operating system, therefore PC sales are not as strong as they could be, and therefore we have this CPU glut.
I think you can draw the line between all those points. I think that's a logical conclusion. Now, one thing that goes along with that a lot of people aren't realizing, CPU or computer sales aren't down overall. They actually rose after Vista came out, but not to the degree that everyone expected. And so I think a lot of these companies were ramping up production of their products, which means Intel had to be ramping up production of chips to account for this anticipated increase in sales. And it didn't rise up as high as they thought it was going to. And so now we have extra product sitting there that just isn't selling.
So it's not so much that Vista is the albatross here. It's more that Vista is not dragging along the industry at this nice clip that everyone had hoped for.
Yes, I think that's absolutely right. And until Vista really catches on, then I really don't see a big increase in PC sales. I think this is just going to be this steady thing, and the whole Vista and Microsoft machine is so big that it's just going to keep going forward for the foreseeable future. So even though we don't have these big sales that Microsoft is telling us we're having, but no one's really seeing, you know, even though we're not having that right now, it's going to happen over time. It's just not as fast as Microsoft wanted it to be.
All right. Now, let's wrap up with some general questions here. Where are we headed here? What's the, what's the next, say, 12 months going to look like for the PC industry? And when I say the PC industry, I mean in terms of, for example, operating system sales, whether Mac or Windows, for CPU sales, for CPU supply. If you, and again, I'm asking you to pull out your perpetually busted crystal ball.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Where do you think we're headed?
Okay, I think that what we're going to see when Leopard comes out is a sharp increase in Mac sales and also in Apple operating system sales. Which stands to reason. The quarter that Apple releases a new operating system, that's when they sell the largest single quantity at any given time. So that just stands to reason. But I think that there's a pent-up demand right now. And we talked about this a little bit last week with the whole Adobe product rollout coming for the Intel Macs. That's going to help. The fact that so many people are waiting for this new operating system, plus the fact that we know, we don't know when, but we know that there's new Macs in the pipeline, those are all things that are going to help drive up Leopard sales and ultimately the installed base of Macintosh. Now, in the meantime, we'll just have this steady thing of Vista going along where its sales are still happening and they're continuing to convert XP users to Vista. But what's going to happen, I think, come this fall when we get to the back-to-school time, my guess is that even though Vista sales will start to shoot up quite a bit because it's back-to-school time, I think that Leopard and Macintosh sales will shoot up at a higher percentage rate than the Vista sales, simply because there's more awareness of the Macintosh now, and we'll have a couple months at least of Leopard sales under our belt so we can see how the product is really working. And I think that's going to be a big boost come back to school time.
And we'll just have to see how well the reality of it shakes out relative to everything you just said. I'm keeping a scorecard here, man.
Yeah, I'm not doing too well, am I?
I think that's going to have to be the last word on this. If you have thoughts about Vista, I've never heard a Mac user who did not have thoughts on Vista. So send us your emails, roundup@macobserver.com. We will be back on schedule with the normal routine next week, and maybe something happened last week that I didn't hear about on vacation, and we can talk about it. Or maybe last week was boring, and it's just as well that we talked about this stuff instead.
I can't wait to see what happens. Okay, that's the news. Thanks for listening to the Apple Weekly Report.
Our content, of course, is written by the staff of the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The base is by Boom for TMO. PME Early Bird registration is up. Go check that out. That's all I've got.
And stay subscribed.
Until next week, everyone, we'll see you online.